Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the EST Energia second quarter and 6 months 2010 earnings release conference call. I am Maria, your operator for this conference. Please note that for the duration of the presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Margus Kosik, CFO. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to EST Energia's second quarter results presentation. My name is Margus Kosik, yes, and I am CFO of EST Energia. Let's turn to page three. And what we are talking today is basically highlights of the second quarter. Just a little bit about the business environment here, and of course our group financial results. And afterwards we will do a Q&A session. Turning page four, second quarter of this financial year was a successful one for us. Our revenues were up 18%. Up to 165 million euros. EBITDA growth was even bigger, 23%, up to 45 million euros. And operating profit margin was almost 14%. We invested 47.6 million euros during that second quarter, which is roughly in line with the amount during the last year's second quarter. So the increase was just 5%. Now, about the business environment, on page 6, just a quick update on Estonian macroeconomic situation. We are on the route of economic recovery. The economic decline has ended, and we do see that most macroeconomic indicators have been started to grow, and also inflation. We also do see that as our electricity sales and consumption of electricity in Estonia is linked to GDP growth, then as well we have seen growth in our electricity sales. On the next slide, there is information about electricity prices in open market in Estonia, and as you may know, from 1st of April this year, there was a launch of power exchange in Estonia, which Nord Pool extended their operations to Estonia, and the market has worked rather well. It has been liquid, and basically what we can say is we have seen over that six-month period a harmonization of prices between Estonia and Finland. The spread between Estonia and Finland has decreased over time. And now, actually, what we do see is that the price during the second quarter was in Estonia even a bit higher than in Finland, but it was basically due to one day where Estonian prices peaked and were 462 euros per megawatt hour. Other than that, the prices were roughly the same in Estonia and Finland. In the Lithuanian power pool, the prices are a bit higher due to some constraints in transmission capacity and are also due to a market structure. It's not a similar one to Nord Pool. So, turning to our financial results, we are already on page 9. Now what we can say is that as the market has opened in Estonia, the power market, to some extent, then now our more than half of our revenues come from open market, be that power sales to our eligible customers, oil sales, or some other products and services. And for us, it's from that point of view, a good news, as regulated prices are lower in power market than eligible or open market prices then definitely there is an upside to earn from market opening. Moving to next slide, slide 10, which shows our revenues, and we can see here that all, basically all our core products revenues have increased. There is a structural shift between regulated and unregulated markets. As market opened, then sales in the regulated market declined, but they went over to the unregulated market. And other products and services also have increased, network services, fuels, and other revenues. There is also a pie chart to indicate how much revenues we get from each product. And most of the sales still come from the electricity side. Power sales to regulated regulated prices was 33 million euros. With unregulated prices, it was 57 million euros, and network services 38. So it's a bit more than 75% of the revenue still come from the electricity side. Now, moving on to each of those key products. In the regulated market, well, as the market opened and some clients moved to unregulated side of it, then and of course the sales declined. Sales volume declined about 26%. Sales in euros declined 27%. So the average price also declined slightly. It was mainly due to the fact that regulated prices did decline from 1st of August last year. So last year's second quarter did include 1 month with a bit higher regulated price. So hence a little decline there. And from market structure point of view, just to remind that customers from, who are consuming more than 2 gigawatt hours per year are now basically forced to buy on open market with unregulated prices, and it currently is about 30% of the total market of Estonia that is de facto open. Now, on the open market side, the volumes of course have increased because, well, the market opening of Estonia, but also because of market opening in Lithuania, where we have gained market share, and currently our market share in Estonia is 87% and 17% in Latvia and Lithuania. On the open market, we sell about 0.6 terawatt hours to retail customers, being it in Estonia, in Latvia or Lithuania, and about 0.8 terawatt hours, so a bit more, we sold through power exchange or through bilateral deals with other electricity market players here in the Baltics. Now, next slide, 13, about network services. Here, basically, we see that the volumes have increased about 6%. So that does indicate that electricity consumption is on the growth pattern. That definitely helps us also in that distribution business. We see revenues going up more, 11.5%. That does indicate that the prices of electricity or distribution services actually increased, but the increase was mainly due to transmission fees increase, and that is basically a pass-through element in our distribution tariffs. So from that price increase, we didn't gain anything, basically. On the next slide, about shale oil, page 14, the shale oil sales volumes have gone up about 16%, sales in euros about 30%, and that is basically mainly because the average price is higher than it was a year ago, and as our oil prices, our shale oil prices linked to oil prices in the world market and to heavy fuel oil prices in the world market, then then as that changed, our sales prices changed as well. We do have somewhat hedged our position in the oil side, and it was 15,000 tons per this quarter. That was basically hedged at a 320 euros per ton. So we did have a slight loss from those forward agreements. On the next slide, we come to the profit side of our business, and what we can see that basically the growth in the EBIT came mainly from our generation division and fuels division, and it then grew, the EBIT grew from 14 million euros to 22 million euros. The EBIT itself, if we look at the pie chart on the right side, then we see that still, although the growth came mainly from generation and fuels division, then the absolute amount of EBIT, still about half of it came from the retail side, and that's mainly distribution business, and almost second half from the fuels division, that is basically oil and mining. And the generation business EBIT was rather small, about 10% of the total. It is also, well, due to the fact that summer months are not the best for our generation business, and the market prices tend to be a bit lower, and also the demand side is lower, and the supply from our side is lower as we use summer periods for maintaining our equipment. So, but now turning to our business division's view and page 16. Retail division profitability, as you saw on the last slide, didn't change much during the last quarter. Sales volumes did grow somewhat, and the prices as well, but basically as the margins are rather small, and also the price increase was also due to the fact that the input prices of that electricity increased, then the margin or EBIT basically wasn't affected at all. And a bit more information we have extracted from that retail division, also the distribution business, that's on the slide 17, and that does show that our distribution business profitability did decrease a bit, about 1 million euros, and that was basically due to the extraordinary storm-related expenses that we had, and these accounted for about 1 million euro. And the price increase that we do see in our distribution business, as I said, was basically due to the pass-through elements, and we didn't gain much. Distribution business return on invested capital currently is 6.5%, that is roughly the same that is allowed by the regulator. Regulated return currently on our prices, in our prices, 6.7%. So we are almost achieving the allowed return. Now, on the next slide, about the generation business, there was some growth, as you saw, and basically what it was due to is that our net electricity generation grew significantly. We did have last year some revaluation of CO2 allowances that we had purchased for covering our positions, but as our generation mix changed significantly and we did import a lot last year, then at some point of time we had to revalue and start to account this mark to market for those CO2 allowances, and these basically affected the last year's second quarter results significantly. And that was one thing that somewhat boosted this year's growth. And also a new item is a rental fee to rental fee from Estlink cable, as we have now given our cable to Nord Pool Power Exchange in exchange for basically the bottleneck fee that we get as a rental fee. So these are the changes, and these basically helped to grow the EBIT from minus 2 to 2 million euros. And the significant change in the generation side is, as I a bit indicated, that last year, during the last year's second quarter, we did import a significant amount of electricity. We did import it from Lithuania at a pretty good prices. This year, the contract expired, and what we basically covered that amount of purchases by our own generation that has a lot lower margin. So basically that switch or change in our procurement mix, so-called, did lower our margin significantly and had a negative impact. And on next slide, 19, about our fuels division, there we see also EBIT growing from 6 to 10. And this division has mainly benefited from both the volume and price increases on two main products. Basically, shale oil volumes have grown and prices, and as well on the oil shale side, we do sell a bit of this oil shale to third parties, and the volume of it and the price of it also increased. So that those two products both basically help to push up the margins a bit and increase the EBIT to 10 million euros. Now on page 20, about our cash flows. Our cash flows during the summer months definitely are, both this year and last year, net cash flows are negative or free cash flows. We do invest more than our operating cash flow. Last year, during the last year's second quarter, they were more or less equal. This time, the operating cash flow was significantly lower, but it was lower due to the income tax that we paid on dividends. So the timing of dividends is and paying this income tax or recognizing this income tax is significantly different this year and last year. Last year, we did pay some dividends during the first quarter, some during the third quarter. During this financial year, we did pay out all the dividends during the second quarter. So that timing affects somewhat the operating cash flow and our free cash flow as well. Now, turning page to 21, investments during the second quarter amounted to 47.6 million euros. Most of the investments went to our generation site, where we are installing those desulfurization equipment into four electricity generation units. One of those is almost complete, and three are undergoing. On the retail side, we invested 13 million euros. That's basically almost all of it is distribution network. And on the fuel side, the main investment was into our new oil plant, NFIT 280. That's about 5 million euros, basically. On the next slide, there is a quick update on our main investment projects that are undergoing. And this NFIT oil plant, we have invested up to date 33 million euros. Total investment is estimated 190 million euros. Project deadline is 2012. Second very important part in our business plan as well is the desulfurization equipment in Narva power plants that will enable us to use those old units for much longer period until and after the time where the derogation ends that we have got from EU to regarding those sulfur emissions. And into those FGDs, we have invested 49 million euros, and the total project is 110. And the project deadline is there also 2012. And from those four units, as I said, one will be commissioned already by the end of this calendar year, in December. Iru waste-to-energy plant project is currently stalled a bit because of the dispute over building permit. We are not part of this dispute, but basically the municipality who gave us the building permit is part of that dispute. But anyway, it does affect how we can proceed with the project, and the legal proceedings are going on, and we are making our decisions how to proceed with that project sometime in November. And the project itself is 100 million euros and could be completed by 2012. And just recently, we have signed an EPC contract to build a wind park on Narva ash fields. The cost of the project is 58 million euros, and it will also be basically up and running in the end of 2011 or beginning 2012. And that is already now under construction. And now coming to summary, page 23, definitely the second quarter of this financial year we regard as a successful one, as our revenues are up 18%, EBIT increased 59%. We're especially proud we are by the fact that sales to electricity in the open markets went up 101%. That does show our competitiveness on the open market. Market share is 87% in Estonia and 79% in Latvia and Lithuania. We significantly increased the sales of shale oil. That is a rather profitable part of our business. And the main profitability growth did came from the shale oil and also from generation side. And investments are currently still modest. They are up 5% from last year. So that's basically the end of my presentation, but I'm glad to start now Q&A session and glad to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, for questions, please press star and one. Thank you. The first question is from Taito Yokisari from Pohjola. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, this is Tapio Yokisari. I'm with Pohjola Asset Management. Regarding your investment projects, I've seen a number of 3 billion over the next 5 years that you're planning to invest. So when are you going to step up the investments if you're to reach that 3 billion? And also, what are your plans to finance the investments?
Thank you. Basically, that is investment projects that are already undergoing or have investment decision behind them have been listed in that table that you just saw, and that definitely is far from that 3 billion that you mentioned. We do have, yes, in the pipeline other investments. Two main ones would be one is the new power plant in Narva, new basically oil shale fired power plant. This is in the tendering phase, and we may see in the next few months reaching the investment decision there as well, but it currently has not been decided. But If we do that investment decision, then yes, the project amount there is a two units. We plan to procure up to two units, basically one plus one, and one of those will cost roughly 500 million euros. So, and the construction would then start sometime mid 2011. The second unit of that new power plant will be decided not sooner than 2012. So up until that, we still have a lot of flexibility. And then the second, let's say, leg of our investment plan is the oil plant, basically the second phase of our oil expansion. And there we do the investment decisions as well, not sooner than 2012. And what we plan to do is to first finish the oil plant that we are currently building, and then after that is commissioned and working beautifully, we do decide on the next ones, just to basically reduce the construction risk and business risk there. And now coming back to when the investment amounts would go up, then yes, after 2012 or starting from, let's say, second half of 2012, we could see a significant increase, but basically not sooner. And as we have said, the investment decisions have not been made yet, and we'll have to basically live to that point and see what the investment figures are, what is the profitability of those investments, and so on, to make those decisions. About the financing side, basically big part of that investments are, you know, financed through our own cash flow. That is a significant part. Secondly, we do have as you probably noticed sometime this spring, that there was a talk about possible IPO of Eesti Energia. Still, whether it being IPO or government or equity injection by current owner, our government, there will most likely be an equity increase to help to finance the investment plan being as large as you described. And of course, we plan to tap the debt markets as well. And let's say the timing of it does depend significantly on this possible, you know, IPO, that possible IPO being sometime, you know, sooner, then that pushes back to that. If IPO is not on the horizon soon, then the first thing we do is go to the debt capital markets. That's all I can comment right now.
Mr. Jokisari, is your question answered?
Yeah, just to follow up that, do you have any thoughts yet how big share the debt market of this 3 billion could be?
Well, it is rather difficult to say anything about what we exactly will acquire from debt markets, as we still have other debt sources available as well from the banks, for instance, and I think it is rather early to say that. We definitely have some debt metrics that we keep in mind to keep our debt levels reasonable and our ratings reasonable, and that's what we do follow. And I think that gives the best guidance what possible debt levels could be.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have questions, please press star and one. Thank you. Excuse Excuse me, Mr. Kosik. There are no questions at this time.
Thank you. Then from our end.
Excuse me for interrupting you, Mr. Kosik.
Oh, we have.
There is a question from Emmanuel Tessier from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Tessier?
Yes, sorry. Good morning. First of all, thank you very much for that call. I have a question regarding your request to increase tariff in Estonia, because I've read recently that your request has been withdrawn. And I would like to know if you could explain what would be the negative impact on your profitability regarding that withdrawal and given the inflation in Estonia at around 4%, I'm sure that that will have some pressures on your margin. So if you can clarify that for me.
Yes, we can, of course. Yes, the distribution tariff increase is postponed somewhat. We had a long discussion with our regulator that didn't end for us too favorably, and then we decided to withdraw that application and start with a new one. So yes, the tariff increase will follow at one point of time, earliest being sometime mid-2011, but it could be later as well. It does affect our profitability, but what I could say is that, well, the tariff increase, first of all, was supposed to cover some pass-through elements of the cost, and those pass-through elements will be anyway compensated also if the price increase comes a bit later. So that does not affect our bottom line in the end. Then there was an element that we wanted to increase the regulated return. So that means that if we don't get that increase in regulated return, returns will remain the same, but we did want it to increase them. And of course, there is some element of change in cost, but actually the changes in the cost side are not significant. The other price driver actually was the investment side. We wanted to increase significantly the investments into distribution network that would increase tariffs, but as the tariff increase is now a bit postponed, we do postpone the investments as well, so the pressure from the investment side or the regulated asset base side is also lower. So all in all, what we can say that we did expect to get to distribution network additional roughly 20 million euros per annum that we are now missing, but as I said, part of it would have been increase in the return side, and other significant part would have been to cover the increase in regulated asset base that now will also be lower or postponed. So on the bottom line of distribution network, the effect is not that significant. We don't expect to lose much on the return side. As you saw, the return currently is 6.5%, and it actually shouldn't decrease significantly over the next few quarters. It should remain almost the same, being about 6% or above that.
All right, thank you very much.
Excuse me, Mr. Kosik, there are no more questions at this time.
If there are no further questions, then also thank you from our side for you listening to us, to explaining our results. And it was the first time that we did it, and definitely won't be the last time. And let's keep in touch also during the next quarter calls. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining and have a pleasant day. Goodbye.